Well, good morning again, and welcome to PBC. Let me add my welcome to those of others who have welcomed you this morning. My name is Scott Grant. I'm a pastor at this church, an elder as well, and we are continuing our study in the Sermon on the Mount, listening to the words of Jesus and praying that they would work their way into our hearts. I was about 27 years old, and I just lost a job, and I was not happy about losing the job, but I was happy about the timing of it. It happened in the summer. I was living in San Jose at the time with three other guys, and I decided to take a trip that I'd always wanted to take but never had been able to up to that point. I wanted to go to Idaho and Montana and Wyoming, and so I did that. I just threw my sleeping bag in the car. I threw my tent in the car. I took my fly rod along, and I just went on a camping and fishing trip for 6 weeks. It was, for me, I called it a pilgrimage. I mean, it was like Montana, Idaho, Wyoming. For me, that was like the Holy Land, in a sense. But I also wanted to meet with God along the way. And I was anxious because I was planning to come back to the Bay Area, and I didn't know what I would face. I didn't have a job lined up, and I would have to start looking for a job. So I was anxious at that particular time about my future. On one particular day, I was fishing along the Madison River in Montana, and the fishing wasn't that great. It was the afternoon. I was getting a little tired, and I took a nap. I just went down, lay down on the banks of the Madison River, and I took a nap. And sometimes that's the best thing to do when you're anxious, just take a nap. Well, Jesus is going to tell us today concerning anxiety. He's going to tell us, do not be anxious. But it's not as if he thinks those words are easy to follow, because he has to repeat them. In fact, he says, do not be anxious in our text today 3 times. And he surrounds these instructions with so many other words. So he knows that we have a long way to go in order to understand how not to be anxious and how to trust our Heavenly Father. What he does is he asks questions. He asks 5 questions, as a matter of fact. Have you ever noticed in the Gospels, if you have spent any time in the Gospels, how often Jesus asks questions? That's one of his favorite ways to teach. He asks questions in order to excavate some of the things that the people in the Gospels are thinking and feeling, and he asks questions to excavate what we are thinking and feeling as well. So he asks 5 questions, and then he issues 2 very doable commands before finally getting to these magnificent instructions at the end. So let's work through it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. By all accounts, anxiety in our part of the world is on the rise. Not only in the country as a whole, but in our area in particular. In fact, a poll was released earlier this month that indicated that 67% of people who live in the Bay Area are worried about changes that are happening in the Bay Area. And that's up from 10% in 2016. Traffic, cost of living, and homelessness were among the chief concerns for anxiety. But Jesus says, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about your life. And when he talks about your life here, he's talking about basic necessities, such as food and clothing. Now, he was talking to people who would be really concerned about basic necessities. They didn't know if they were going to have enough to eat. They didn't know if they were going to have clothes to wear. Many people in our world are concerned about such things as well. But many people in our world also are very convinced that they're confident that their basic needs are going to be met. That doesn't mean that we don't worry about things such as food and clothing. All sorts of concerns in our world gather around food and clothing. Take food, for example. How much do I eat? When do I eat? Do I eat carbohydrates or not carbohydrates? Carbohydrates. How much carbohydrates? Gluten-free, lactose-free? I mean, we have to be concerned about so many things. Do I eat in or do I eat out? And if I eat out, who do I eat with? Who's going to be there? What kind of restaurant? Fast food? Are the kids going to like the food that we go to? What's the restaurant? All sorts of arguments ensue in families about what restaurant you go to. Fast food? Slow food? Are we going to go to a nice place? Not a nice place? What do we do? All sorts of stuff gathers around food. How about clothing? All sorts of concerns gather around clothing in our world as well. Is this in style or is it not in style? Does it match or does it not match? How am I doing today, by the way? I'll be honest with you. I was a little anxious this morning. I was going to wear something else, and at the last minute, I changed my mind. The first thing I was planning to wear, I thought it went together, but I wasn't sure, and my wife is out of town. My wife, Karen, is out of town, so I usually consult her if I'm concerned about anything, so I couldn't consult her, so I was pretty convinced that the brown sort of worked today. Am I doing okay? Yeah, okay. But I was a little anxious about clothing today. Oh, how much do you spend on clothing? Where do you buy it? Do you go to Nordstrom? Do you go to Amazon? Do you go online? Brick and mortar? Ross, Dress for Less. There's all sorts of choices we have. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Giving Tuesday, Wiped Out Wednesday. I mean, Jesus, all the things you got to think about if you are convinced that your basic needs are being met about how to get clothes. Right? Many people in our world are anxious about clothing. And much advertising, food and clothing, and much advertising is really designed to make you anxious, to make you want to buy the right thing in order to meet your basic needs. But then it's not your basic needs, it's because it's going to give you a meaningful life if you buy the right food and you buy the right clothing. Jesus asks questions. He asks five questions, and these are diagnostic. When someone asks you a question, you have to think about the answer, don't you? And when you have to think about the answer, you have to form words. And words unlock feelings. You might not know what you're anxious about until you actually have to speak words. You form words, words unlock feelings. So what I want us to do this morning is just listen to the questions of Jesus and spend a little time with each question. Each question has an expected answer. But Jesus wants to go to the deep place within us to excavate how we really think. Theologically, the answer might be obvious, but personally, what are you really thinking? What are you really feeling? Question one. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Well, the Sunday school answer, of course, is yes. But how do you really feel? Take a few minutes with the question. Try to form words in your mind about how you would answer the question. Question two. Are you not of more value than they, that is, birds? Well, theologically, the answer is yes, but how do you really feel? Take a few seconds. Question three. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? The answer, of course, is no one, theologically. But what do you really think? What are you really feeling? Take a few seconds. Question four. And why are you anxious about clothing? If you're anxious about clothing, why? Answer the question. Final question. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? What do you think? Have the questions of Jesus surfaced anything for you? Have these questions shown you that you're anxious? Have they shown you why you're anxious? What Jesus wants to do is surface what we feel so that he can treat whatever it is that we're anxious about with his words. So now we must listen carefully to the words of Jesus. And we must let these words penetrate our hearts. And we have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to do that. Let's first of all consider the question of value. Jesus wants us to know that we are more valuable than birds and flowers. He wants us to observe the birds and flowers and to understand that we are more valuable than they are because we have a Heavenly Father. But there are many in our world who adhere to a certain worldview which denies that there is a loving creator. And if that is true, if there is not a creator, then really, how can you say that we are more valuable than birds and flowers? If there is no loving creator, then birds and flowers and humans are all equally valuable. Or let's face it, they are all equally worthless. And many people in our world know that deep down, and they are collapsing into existential despair because they don't believe in a loving creator. But if there is a loving creator who created us the way he wanted to create us out of his love, and if he sent his son to redeem us, to die for our sins, so that we could be restored to him, what then does that say about our value? Jesus wants us to learn from the birds. He says, the birds are active, but the birds find food. Why is that? Because your Heavenly Father cares for them. It's your Heavenly Father, which makes us think that, okay, he's our Heavenly Father, he cares for us as well, but watch how he cares for the birds. The birds are looking for food, and the birds find food. Now, here's the first doable command, and I love it. We get a doable command. We actually get two doable commands that are very easily doable in our passage today. Here it is, verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. I can do this. Can you look at birds? I am so thankful in the Sermon on the Mount, which seems to have some very difficult commands, such as love your enemy. How do I do that? God, help me to love my enemy. I don't know if I can do that. I have to do that. You're telling me to do that, Jesus, but help me to love my enemies. And then he says, look at the birds. Oh, thank you. A command that I can obey. It's very easy. Look at the birds. Can you do that? Can you look at the birds? How about this? Sometime this week for 5 minutes, that's all I'm asking, 5 minutes, look at the birds. Find some place where you can see some birds and just see what happens. Look at the birds. Now, there's another easily doable command in our passage this morning. Jesus wants us to learn from the flowers. So look at the flowers, see what you can learn from them. They're beautiful. They're not active like the birds, or they're not active like the birds, but your Heavenly Father clothes them. They're beautiful. They're more beautiful than even Solomon. You can learn from the birds. So, what does he want us to do? Well, now he wants us to look at the flowers. Consider the lilies of the field. I can do this too. I can look at birds, and I can look at flowers. Can you do that? I asked for 5 minutes. Now I'm going to ask for 10. Look at the birds for 5 minutes. Look at the flowers for 5 minutes this week. You can learn something. You can take a break. If you look at birds and flowers, you're taking a break from all of the other things that might concern you. At the very least, you're not worrying about everything else if you focus on birds and flowers. You might get into it for a while. You might expose yourself to the wonder of creation. You really might appreciate the wonder of creation and therefore the wonder of the Creator. King David, back in Psalm 8, he considered the moon and the stars. He considered creation. He looked at the moon and the stars, and then he penned a masterpiece. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So, look at the birds. And look at the flowers. 5 minutes each. Now, if I'm going to tell you to do this, I probably have to do the same thing. So I already did it. I already spent 5 minutes with flowers, I spent 5 minutes with birds, and I can't tell you that there was any great revelation. I don't think Jesus necessarily wants us to have some great revelation by looking at birds and flowers. But we might learn a few things, but we might kind of attune ourselves to a different way of living. So I did this, and I don't think I got any great revelations from doing it, other than the fact that, understanding something I already knew, there are too many crows in this world. But it did occur to me, as I looked at the birds and I looked at the flowers, that if I made this a practice, I might be able to train myself to be spiritually watchful. If I'm actually paying attention, looking at birds flying and flowers and how beautiful they are, if I'm actually doing that, maybe I'm training myself to become more spiritually watchful. Later in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "Watch and pray. Be spiritually watchful." Paying attention to creation perhaps can make me more spiritually watchful. Now Jesus talks about what God knows. And if we know what God knows, if we know that God knows, that can help us immensely. Verse 31. "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." The Gentiles, that would be at that particular time, those who didn't believe in the God of Israel, and they were anxious. They were anxious because they didn't believe that their gods cared about them. They didn't believe that their gods were going to meet their needs, so they eagerly, intensely sought after these basic needs, such as food and clothing. So they didn't trust their gods. And Jesus says that our God is not like that. He is our heavenly Father. He knows our needs. He knows our needs even before we ask him. We learned that earlier in the Sermon on the Mount. And as we have seen, many people who are convinced that their basic needs are going to be met nevertheless obsess about things such as food and clothing nonetheless. So our Heavenly Father knows what we need before we ask him. What therefore should we do instead of being anxious? As we have already seen, we should look at some birds and we should look at some flowers. Is there anything else that we can do? And you want to notice how often in the scriptures, when Jesus or when the apostles say, "Hey, stop doing this," they're going to say, "Start doing this." What you're hoping to accomplish doing this really isn't doing it for you. Instead, do this. Here is the best part. Matthew 6, 33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Seek first the kingdom of God. To seek first the kingdom of God is to seek the king of the kingdom, who is Christ. Seek first to know Christ. And then seek the righteousness of God. What does that mean? It means to seek the ways of the king. Seek to know the ways of the king. Seek to know Christ and seek to know the ways of Christ. And if we seek Christ, if we seek his ways, we will find what we need when we need to find it, ultimately so that we can continue seeking Christ and seeking his ways. I like this verb, seek. The command is not to find. The command is to seek. It's a quest. You're looking for something. You're trying to keep your eyes open for something. You're moving forward in a quest. So Jesus is inviting us to a quest. Make a quest. Follow a quest. In the musical Man of La Mancha, Aldonza asks Don Quixote, the mad prince, if he keeps going, well, she says to him, "If you keep going the way you're going, your head is going to end up a stranger to your neck." In other words, you're going to get killed. You keep on doing what you're doing, and you're going to get killed. And Don Quixote answers, "That doesn't matter." She says, "What do you mean it doesn't matter? What matters then?" And he says, "Only this, that I follow my quest. I'm going to follow my quest, wherever it leads. Whatever happens doesn't matter. I am going to follow my quest." Follow your quest. Seek to know Christ. Seek to know the ways of Christ. Where will it all lead us? I don't know. That's the exciting part. That's the scary part. If you make a quest, if you seek, you don't know where it's going to go. But there is a Heavenly Father you can trust. Seek. Move forward. Trust. This command to seek is very consistent with the command to look at the birds and look at the flowers. It's look. It's observe. It's watch. It's seek. There's an open-endedness to it. It's exciting. So, how are you going to go about seeking to know Christ and seeking to know the ways of Christ? The primary way, perhaps, is to spend time with Jesus in the Gospels. That's what we're doing now, by the way. We are in the Sermon on the Mount, listening to the words of Jesus. We're seeking to know Jesus. We're seeking to know the ways of Jesus. For me, each biblical text represents a quest. I don't know where it's going to lead. I open the Bible, and if I'm going to teach from a particular text, I don't know where it's going to lead. I don't know what I'm going to find. I don't know what kind of sermon is going to emerge from this. Some people will tell me, we want you to teach on that. Okay, so give me a passage or something like that. Okay, here's the passage. I want you to teach on this from that passage. Well, I don't know what I'm going to find. I got to spend time with it. It's a quest. It's exciting. I don't know what's going to emerge. I don't know what kind of sermon is going to come out of this. I had never simply let Jesus ask five questions before. Been preaching for 25 years here. Never done that before. Didn't plan on doing it. Started studying the text. That's what emerged. Does it work or not? I don't know. A little bit scary. A little bit exciting too. And then if you want to seek to know Christ, if you want to seek to know the ways of Christ, try to find a few people who are doing the same. Try to find a few people who are seeking to know Christ and seeking to know the ways of Christ. See if you can get close to them. See if you can learn a few things. See if you can learn a way of being as much as you learn specific things, what to do and what not to do. Seek to know Christ. Seek to know the ways of Christ. Then what? Then all these basic necessities will be added unto you. These basic necessities, Jesus acknowledges, are needs. They are needs. Your Father knows that you need them all. But they are secondary needs. They are not primary needs. The primary need is to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then these secondary things will be added unto you. Seeking Christ, seeking the ways of Christ, that doesn't feel like a primary need. That doesn't feel like a need at all. It doesn't feel most of the time that that is something that I need to do. But it is. Jesus tells me it's the most important thing. All this other stuff that I'm thinking about and concerned about and worried about, those are secondary things. The primary thing is to seek to know Christ and to seek to know the ways of Christ. And as Keith Green sings, He'll take care of the rest. And then as our Heavenly Father meets our secondary needs, He enables us, He keeps us alive so that we can continue seeking the primary need, which is His kingdom, His righteousness. Now it is true that some of those who earnestly seek to know Christ, who earnestly seek to know the ways of Christ, some of those people, yes, will starve to death. Some of them will die of dehydration. Some of them will freeze to death. But this does not negate at all the promises that Jesus gives us here. Jesus promises us that the Father will give us everything that we need up until the point that He calls us home. And when we die to the glory of God, however it is that we die. We're going to be here. God's going to provide for us as long as He deems it necessary for us to be here in His perfect, sublime purposes. So all who seek Christ will have what they need for as long as they need it. So what about tomorrow? Matthew 6, 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. If we are anxious We're usually anxious about the future, aren't we? We don't know what's going to happen in the future, so we're thinking, we're worrying, what possibly could go wrong? How can I prevent something from going wrong? When we're worrying about the future, we're trying to secure the future. We're trying to prepare ourselves for any possible scenario that could happen so that we can provide for ourselves. But when you think about it, the scenarios, the possible scenarios about what could happen are endless, right? And how often have you found your mind racing? Okay, this is going to happen tomorrow, but if this happens, then I have to do this. Oh, then I have to do this. And then you're completely out of control because you know that the possible scenarios are endless. And how many times have you found yourself worrying about what might happen tomorrow and that thing never happened? Too many times to count, I fathom. Well, Jesus says that tomorrow is not your responsibility. Tomorrow is tomorrow's responsibility. Obviously, he's joking here because tomorrow can't be responsible for anything. What he really wants us to do is just think about today. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. And tomorrow's troubles may never come to pass anyway. And how many times, in what sense could we actually lengthen our life or improve our life by worrying about the future? Actually, if we worry about the future, it's more likely to shorten our lives. So if you're anxious about tomorrow, if you're anxious about today, what should you do? How should you deal with it? Jesus has already told us, seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. Seek to know Christ and seek to know the ways of Christ. And along the way, look at a few birds and look at a few flowers. And maybe looking at birds and looking at flowers is a way to seek Christ in a way to seek the ways of Christ. What are you doing out there? Sitting around just looking at birds and flowers. Oh, I'm seeking Christ. I'm seeking to know the ways of Christ. You're doing that, just looking at birds and flowers? Yeah, it's a lot better than worrying, don't you think? The hymn writer says, and because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Well, we're considering Advent this month, and we're considering peace this month. We don't want to be anxious. Instead, we want to experience the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I was fishing along the banks of the Madison River in Montana, and I went to sleep. I took a nap. I lay down in the grass. A few minutes later, I woke up. The first thing I saw was the grass waving in the breeze. The second thing I saw was some birds just flying right over the grass. And as soon as I saw the grass, as soon as I saw the birds, I remembered what Jesus said in this passage. I am more valuable than the birds. I am more valuable than the flowers. I'm concerned. I'm anxious about my future. Scott, can you trust me? I woke up in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And it's as if Jesus was just talking to me right there. And I woke up. I saw flowers. I saw birds. So I finished my trip. I returned to the Bay Area. I was anxious, but I was hopeful. I knew I had to look for a job. And eventually, a door opened in the East Bay, and I began working for a newspaper in the East Bay. And oh, by the way, at that particular time, I got involved with a church there. And I started studying the scriptures for the first time in my life. I had read the scriptures. I had gone to Bible studies, but I'd never really studied the scriptures. I started teaching Bible studies to high school students and college students. I started shepherding high school students and college students. And then eventually another door opened for me to go back to Idaho to get trained in the scriptures, to get trained in theology, to get trained in ministry. I spent 3 years doing that. And then another door opened for me to come back to the Bay Area where I grew up and to come to Peninsula Bible Church and to teach the scriptures and to shepherd here. And lo, I am before you today teaching from the very passage that I woke up to so many years ago. What a quest. I mean, you don't know where it's going to lead, but it's going to lead someplace good if we have a loving heavenly Father. Seek Christ, seek the ways of Christ. He'll take care of the rest. I'd like to invite the band to come back up, and as the band comes up, let me pray. Lord Jesus, you have given us magnificent words. So appreciative that you give us something that's easily done. We can look at birds. We can look at flowers. We can disconnect and do that. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to be in your presence as we do so. Help us to see the wonder of creation, the wonder of the Creator. And Lord, would you give us the grace and the strength and the power to seek first your kingdom, to seek first your righteousness. And in so doing, Lord, would you lessen our anxiety? Give us trust. Give us faith in its place. Amen.